Okay, thanks. By quick way of introduction, Nathan Tintle is a statistician, Ryan Brunner is a psychologist, Gary DeVries is an agriculture professor, Paul Fessler is a historian, I'm a biologist, Jeff is a biologist, and Darren Staub is a chemist. But as you'll see when we present the story, there were lots of other people that were involved in it as well. So on our days that we're not feeling too great, we kind of wonder, what's the future of an institution like ours? And when I say an institution like ours, we're talking about a small college, a small liberal arts college, but also a small Christian liberal arts college. And so we wonder, now with the rise of these MOOCs, or massive open online courses that you can take for free, is that going to threaten the future of an institution like ours? So then we're kind of asking ourselves, what sort of value added are we providing to the students' education? Why is it more worth it for them to come to us than it is to get their education elsewhere? Clearly, what we need to be doing is providing more than simply information transfer. You can get that anywhere you want, and those MOOCs will provide that information transfer. So what we're thinking, okay, what else can we do? Well, we want to instill a heart for service of the students. We want to change the way they perceive the world and what they want to do about it. We also want to help them to develop skills in problem solving. Education is more than just memorizing stuff, as you mentioned as well. They need to work with stuff and need to do that. But also a challenge is, as we see, real-world problems are not disciplinary. They're multidisciplinary. And so often, if you've got a biology student, they're taking all these biology classes, but how does that relate to the rest of the world? Well, they could take a history class, they could take a theology or philosophy class, but what's the connections between them? And so this is the challenge that we're facing, and the question is, how can we do that given our setting? Small college, we're about 1,400 students out in the cornfields of Iowa, so how can we try to accomplish that? And so the approach that we had was to implement a project that is interdisciplinary. So not so much multidisciplinary, but interdisciplinary. In other words, what's the connections between the disciplines? We also wanted it to be campus-wide, so involving students from not just science courses, but a variety of other courses as well, and also to have it tackle a real-world problem. And so what was the problem that we chose? This is one of the UN Millennium Development Goals. 884 million people worldwide lack sustainable access to safe drinking water, and current human influence continues to threaten future access. This is a huge problem. It's a problem that has many different aspects to it, and it's a problem that differs depending on where in the world that you're looking. So this is a huge problem, and so can we use the resources of most of a big part of the student body to try to address this? So this water crisis, we could say, it has a political dimension, it has a technical dimension, it has educational dimensions, it has ecological aspects to it, sociological, cultural, and you could probably list a whole bunch more. And so if we're going to try to get students to tackle this problem, there are many different ways to do it. It's messy, as was mentioned before as well, but there could be a variety of ways to try to tackle the problem. And what we want is students to use their creativity to try to see how to approach it. Before I go on, we do have a senior capstone course. And I think lots of colleges will have that. And so students from all the different majors, they will be taking that class. And then they'll look at real-world issues as well. However, you wouldn't say that's interdisciplinary. It's almost extra-disciplinary. In other words, it's not using your disciplines to approach a problem. It's just looking at something that's broader. So we wanted to actually involve the disciplines in that. So how did we address the problem? What we did, I only have three disciplines in here, but there were a bunch. We intentionally combined students from different disciplines to have them brainstorm and really address the water problem, come up with some suggested approach to try to tackle it, and then to critique theirs and other approaches or potential solutions to it. And then there's also an individual reflection component at the end. And so I'll take you through what we basically did, but it's really the intentional combining of people from different disciplines that was the important part of this. So over 475 students were involved in this. So this is over a third of the student body. And from many different disciplines, as the ones I'd listed before, but also broader than that. 25 faculty members were involved in this. So we had our steering team of about seven faculty members, I think it was seven, but lots of others also jumped on board with this project. And it was a particular course that they taught that would be involved in this project. So the project was meant to model interdisciplinary group problem solving, and I'll explain that a little bit more as well. And the way it was attached to a course, it was the major assignment in the course. So instead of doing a big term paper in some class, you would be involved in this project. And the amount of weight of this, 10 to 15% of your final grade, it depended on the size of the course as well, how many credits it was. So it was a project that was, in a sense, part of a course, but it was a part of many different courses. But they were all working together on the same project. And so we had people in chemistry classes and biology classes, history classes, and the idea was for them to say, what does history have to do with this water problem? What does education have to do with this problem? And how can we use our discipline, how can the students be a disciplinary expert to use my approach or my situation or my discipline to attack the problem? So that way you're forced to look at it from different disciplines. And so the professors were helping that somewhat. As we'll see, that could have been done somewhat better, but Jeff will explain what we're going to do in the next round to deal with that. But that was the intention as well. So what did we have? We started by having a consultant on global water issues. Tim Decker came, and he gave a lecture to all the people that were involved in it, explaining what this water crisis was, you know, in various places of the world, some of the reasons behind it, some of the proposed solutions or approaches to it, just to get people primed so they could see this is a real problem, because a lot of people may just not even been aware of how serious the problem was. So we started with that, and he provided a context. Students were then asked to provide a written response to that lecture to kind of internalize it and say, okay, how do I see this? And it's a huge problem, but does it actually relate to me, and how can I think about trying to deal with it? And then we had interdisciplinary group discussions. So people from different courses were intentionally put together in groups of four so that they could actually brainstorm and ideas of ways to approach it. And you think better when you have food, so we provided a meal for them as well. And so that was a chance for them to really kind of really just brainstorm and say, okay, what can we approach? What can we do about it? And every group can have a different idea and see where to go from there. And you'll see on the right, we did guide them in this discussion. So they had certain procedures and steps that they needed to follow because we were modeling interdisciplinary problem solving. So after that, then they had some idea that hopefully was interdisciplinary that they could start pursuing. Now, once you've got that, then you need to start digging and find out more about your solution and is it feasible and what can we actually do that. We actually had rounded up a bunch of other experts, not on campus, but they were available online, so the various groups were told to submit questions that related to their ideas, and then these online experts could then respond to them as they saw them appropriately or things like that. So students were working, developing, they had resources, literature resources, but also other people they could talk to. So once they had that, then they needed to present a poster. So there's a communication aspect to that. You've got an idea, but you need to communicate that to others as well. So we had, again, the whole entire group in that big room presenting about 125 posters, presenting their idea on how to approach the problem. And then, so they presented that to others, to us, but they also had to look around at other posters and evaluate, you know, was their idea better than mine, or were there good or bad parts to them? So there's an evaluation, a critical thinking aspect to that as well. And then finally, at the end of the whole process, there was an individual reflection paper. How did it impact you personally? So I mean, there's the nuts and bolts of that, but there's also the heart aspect. And so what was your feedback? What was your response to that? So Jeff will continue to talk about the rest.
So how did this whole thing end up working out? There were a number of students who responded very, very favorably to it. One of our students said, "The Water Project has shown me that even first and second world countries can lack clean, safe drinking water, and it's given me the chance to help creatively solve a real world problem with no correct or known solution." And so we were really trying to get them to sort of transcend this idea of, you know, here's my discipline's right answer to this problem, and I really don't need to worry about it because somebody else has already figured it out, and we're good to go. another student, "I'm really excited about the Water Project. I enjoy how the project is bringing people of different disciplines and backgrounds together. As a nurse, I am bringing the healthcare perspective to the table as I draw from experiences and research that I have done for other classes. DORT is providing a fantastic opportunity for students to gather around an important issue and consider real-world solutions to an extensive and complex problem." Wow, she really put that nicely. of course, that wasn't everything that we got. We went through all of the reflections that the students wrote and looked for themes, things that didn't go well, things that did go well, with the idea that we were going to do this again. And so some of the major themes that arose and things that we really needed to improve on, the first one was that a lot of students, despite the fact that this was supposed to be interdisciplinary and they were supposed to be trying to represent their discipline as an expert of their field, somehow sort of failed to make the connection between the problem and their discipline. They sort of saw it as this kind of abstract thing that I really don't see how education relates to the water problem. So something in that aspect between our initial speaker, perhaps what was going on in the classroom, some things were missing there. The other thing, I think, the last point there and kind of the second part, a lot of students saw this as an add-on, and so they had some serious issues about, I didn't ask to be signed up for this, I just sort of defaulted into it because I happened to be in this class, and now you're gonna dump all this extra work on me. And part of that was probably some communication issues with us and some of the participating faculty who weren't on the lead team, who didn't realize it's really important to show what you're taking out of your class in order to put this in so that they don't think that way about it. The other thing that was really too bad was that there was a lack of follow-up to students' good ideas. So a lot of students really did get engaged in this. They really wanted to do something about it, and it just dropped at the end of the semester. And so that was really disappointing to those who had really gotten excited about the project. And so we felt these were the main themes, and so we did a number of things to try to improve upon them. The first thing we did for version 2, which we'll be implementing this fall, was to really say to any participating faculty, you have to really allocate a certain amount of time specifically to this project, really help your students become sort of to the greatest extent possible with a very limited amount of time, in parentheses, become a disciplinary expert, right? So prime them well, right? That way the faculty members also feel more invested in the project, so that helps things too. We're also going to, our dean of chapel is very excited about this project, really liked what happened last time, saw a lot of potential to tie in with our a lot of our weekly chapel sessions. And he's also worked with a lot of international organizations on major global problems. And so he has some good connections there. He wants to tie in both some of his chapel talks, but also some of those organizations that he's worked with into this project. And so we are going to be partnering with organizations. So So it's not just going to be what happens on campus, but the idea is that we're extending this out into real activity that's happening outside, which should provide some more legitimacy in the eyes of a lot of students, make it a much more concrete project. To build on that problem that they said, you know, it just got dropped, we do hope there'll be, we're quite confident there will be opportunities for service trips with the organizations that we partner with as a follow-up to this project. And so the students will be learning about the issues, learning about these organizations, their approaches to solving problems, critiquing their approaches to solving those problems in a very friendly way, and then actually have the opportunity to perhaps implement some of the ideas that they have throughout the semester. The other thing, we really have tried to look at what we expected of students and say, where was the real meat? What did we really get the most benefit out of? What did students really gain the most from? Those are the essential elements we're going to keep. Were there things that we didn't really feel like helped them out? And we cut a bit of the fat. You've probably had the experience where you come up with these really good assignments that you think students should do. Now imagine, you know, seven faculty members all getting together and thinking, man, I've got this really great idea. We should really have the students do this. And we should really have the students do that. And we should really, you know, make them do all these things. And they may be really good, but altogether it was a bit much. And so next year version, we are renaming Agile, Approaching Global Issues Through Interdisciplinary Learning Experiences. And that has a nice connotation, right? We want students to have some agility, that is their ability to sort of navigate with grace some of these very complex world problems. The problem that we've chosen this year is another one of the Millennium Development Goals from the UN, and this is looking at infant mortality. So almost 9 million children still die each year before they reach their fifth birthday. Again, this is a huge issue. Lots of different ways that this problem could be approached, political, social, scientific, educational, business. They all have ways that they can feed into this issue. And so coming back to this, we really want to have students who have an eye for complex world problems. We really want them to have a heart to actually go after those problems. This is part of our central mission. We have this wonderful document called the framework, our educational framework, and one of the critical statements is there, if we give all our students serviceable insight but fail to give them a heart to use it, we will have failed as an institution. And so that is a major central driving force of what we're doing here. And part of the reason that we're not making it a course is because we want it to sort of transcend and not necessarily feel like an academic endeavor, right? We want this to feel like what you do as a person, as a Christian, with your discipline in the world, right? This isn't just something that I do at college. This is practice for what I will be doing as a Christian in the world after I graduate, right? I had a great wrestling coach when I was in high school, and he always said, what's the best way to prepare for wrestling? It's to wrestle, right? What's the best way to prepare your students to deal with large, complex world problems, to help them develop a heart for service? Have them do it, right? And so that's really what this whole thing was all about. And we have good hopes for next year. So any questions?
Right,
and so that was one of the important sort of critical problem solving There's lots of different things that people define as problem solving or critical thinking. One of the most important steps in critical thinking is actually defining the problem in a way that you can deal with it, right? And so the first thing that they actually had to do at that initial meeting was actually to define a context in which they could address this larger problem. So we're talking about safe and sustainable access to, or sustainable access to safe drinking water globally. So now we could look at that in, you know, in the Sahara, or we could look at that in Northwest Iowa, or we could look at that in, you know, anywhere in India. So that was a first step, was actually requiring them to define the context in which they're going to address this problem, and then to define the criteria that they're going to use to evaluate any sort of solution. What are the critical elements for that solution to have given this context? Right. So that's often an important step that we miss in our education, is defining the problem. Right. We usually hand them a problem and say, now use these tools that I've given you to solve this very concrete, nicely defined thing. And in reality, that those kinds of problems rarely exist.
You mentioned this in the context of Capstone senior problems, but one of your quotations was from a freshman student.
So
how do you relate that to make it complex enough to deal with the issues most disciplines want seniors to deal with?
So this was not a Capstone class. We have a Capstone class. It's Core 399. That one's community. What is that? What's the actual title? Neither of us teach
I'm
it.
I'm trying to remember what it's called. But is your kind of general Capstone mm-hmm. prod. But the purpose of this really is, we don't wait till they're seniors before we start dealing right. with world problems. We want them to deal with that at a variety of levels, and a lot of these classes were freshman classes. And so if they're in a group, freshmen along with other upperclassmen, well, then they can also learn from each other as
right.
well.
And one of the things that ends up being a failure, I think, my opinion, of a lot of those Capstone classes that are meant to be interdisciplinary, is that they're taught by one or two faculty members who will inevitably bring their perspective to the table, rather than a project where we're inviting all the faculty. I mean, we invited all of the faculty. We had 25 faculty across the disciplines who participated. We're now getting the perspective, really, of all those disciplines on a single problem. And hopefully that builds momentum on campus, which it did to some degree. We think we'll build more this coming year with the integration of chapel and the participation of actual organizations outside of the college. So.
You had said one of the complaints the first go around is that people felt like they knew, so this is something they had to do. This is an additional requirement. What are some of the ways that you guys have thought about sort of making students realize it's an opportunity that they have here rather than just something else they need to get the degree, besides not making
you want to hit that?
No, do you want to?
Okay. So, I mean, so one of the things that we sort of felt like we fell down on a little bit was early communication.
Yeah.
And so we have a blurb that's going to be put in the syllabus that clearly defines that this is a replacement for something else, right? And so it is, it's not an additional thing that you have to do. Right. But the other thing really is the first speaker we had did a really great job of doing exactly what we asked him to, which was to lay out the problem, to lay out some of the complexity, to lay out all these different things. And that's often not the best way to really get people involved and invested in a problem. The best way to do that is to tell people stories, real stories that engage them in the humanity, right, of the problem. And so we are taking a very different approach to introducing the problem, and that is to have a panel of people who are involved in dealing with infant mortality come and tell their stories, right? We think that will definitely change the way that people engage in the issue, is right? And I think our Dean of Chapel is a really powerful speaker, and is very good at engaging students. And I think having it come from him as well as from us as faculty will also help a lot with that. So
it's really a matter of communication that has to be improved. Yeah.
Yeah. Just have one more question.
Sure.
Maybe two, because mine's really short. Okay. When you have them present their posters, were they presenting as a group or individually?
As a group. So there were, we had 125 posters spread out over, and two would go around and look at other posters while two stayed to explain theirs to other groups, and then we had them switch.
It was pretty crowded, actually.
It was very crowded.
We needed a bigger room.
So. And
we do have that Christmas break. Is that a more or is that?
That's a more.
That's a more where they do have those service mission projects that they can be involved in. But in this case, we wanted to tie it to those specific organizations. But students do it already, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if the student weren't in a class and weren't involved in the project during the semester,
they're still doing it. Sure.
Yeah, all of the events are public.
Yeah.
So even people from the community could come to the come to the poster session that we had and that kind of thing, and we'll plan to have that be true this time as well. We actually had, like last time, some faculty members who weren't actually directly involved with the class do extra things, like one person did a screening of a bunch of videos related to water crisis issues across the world, and so that's another, and those were open to any students as well, so.
I know we're out of time, but if any other institution would be interested in getting involved in that, please let us know, because we're happy to work with other institutions. The money question was raised as well. We did have a grant to pay for some of this as well, like the food and things like, and for TAs to handle all the administration stuff. But we are planning to write a grant proposal to continue this on further, and involving other institutions would help as well to make it better. It would be good for you, because we've already worked out a lot of the details. So if you are interested, let us know.
Yeah.
And let's thank Tony and Jeff for